1 Corinthians 3, we've seen it repeatedly. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The word, His word is seed. Jesus Himself is seed, the greatest seed. You and I are a harvest. All the believers in the world are a harvest of Jesus' seed that He was sown. And His word, all of His word, is incorruptible seed. And God is the God of increase. He multiplies the seed sown, and that is a miracle. That is, we're used to it. We've become, you know, almost blind to it. But the reason why you will eat today is because a miracle happened. Right? One became 20 or 10 or 50 or 1,000. Right? God created seed, and then He multiplies that seed so that one becomes many. And He does, that's just the general principle of the kingdom. He does everything that way, based on that principle. And part of the reason He does that is that He's not controlling you in all these regards. He gives you seed, and then it's up to you. You are determining your harvest by if you sow or if you don't, where you sow, when you sow, how much you sow. If you say, well, Lord, I want more, He would say, well, sow more.
Amen.
Believe more. Right? Yeah. It's not just up to Him. He's put it in our hands. And I'm not just talking about money and stuff. I'm talking about everything. You want friend? You want friends? Be a friend.
That's right.
Sow friendship. You want people to be loyal to you, faithful to you? Sow loyalty. Which means quit posting dumb stuff. I'm serious. That is actually, you know, telling people's business when you shouldn't be. Whatever you would like for people to do with you, that's what you want to do for them. Sowing and reaping is real. And so God wants to multiply every good seed that you've sown, so that you and I increase in ability and are able to do more and more and help more and more. In Psalm 115:12, He said, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, that's all of us. And He said, verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more. When does it end? If it's up to Him, it doesn't. It doesn't end. It just keeps going. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Actually, God's plan is that your children start at a higher place than you started. And finish on a higher place than you ever reached. So that their children start on a higher place. Now the devil's plan is to rob the current generation so that the following generation doesn't even attain to where their parents got. But that's stealing and killing and destroying. That's never the will of God. Say it out loud. The Lord shall, increase me, more and more.
Me
and my children. Now that applies to your natural children. That applies to spiritual children. Is this the will of God?
Yes,
it is. Verse 15. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That is the power of the blessing, is in the multiplication of the seed, the one becoming many. There was a time when Jesus was the only one born again, the only one born again from the dead, the firstborn, the first begotten. Now all of us are part of that harvest. The one has become millions. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus is the greatest seed that has ever been sown. Now, we've gone through a lot already, and if you weren't with us, I encourage you, go online, go to the Word Supply, and look at these previous lessons and get caught up with us. And the latter part, we're talking about three big principles, foundational principles of increase. And what we have seen and are talking about is that there is more to increase than giving.
Amen.
To hear some people talk, to hear some preachers talk, that's all there is to it. Give, give, and you'll be blessed. Give, give, and you'll be blessed. But there's more to it than that. Yeah? Well, we just got through talking about sowing seed. Certainly that's important, but there's more to increase than giving. And there's more to prospering than money.
Amen.
You can have a lot of money and be poor. Poor in spirit, poor in soul, poor in body, poor in family. Huh? There's a lot more to prospering than money. So when we're talking about foundational principles of increase, we're talking about the increase of God in your life. And God prospering you and I, spirit, soul, mind, body, finances, ministry, family. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about, like 3 John 2 talked about, beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. We're talking about inner prospering. Hallelujah. In your mind. In your heart, in your soul, soul satisfaction, heart contentment, peace, joy. This is prospering. Hallelujah. And yeah, your body being healthy and good shape. And yeah, having plenty of money to pay your bills and having a good place to stay and good things to wear and eat and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's just part of the whole thing. Say it out loud. It is God's will.
It is God's will.
That I prosper.
That I prosper.
And be in health.
And be in health.
Even as my soul prospers.
Even as my soul prospers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every day of your life.
Yes.
That's God's will.
Yes.
For you and for me. And so we've gone over three major foundational principles of God increasing us. The first one was
honor.
Honor. So important. He said, those that honor me, I will honor. The second one was
worship.
Covetousness is idolatry. The Lord can't add money and things to you as long as you love it. If you long after money and lust after things, and you think more about getting that big house than you do loving God and serving God, He can't add it to you. It would take you away from Him. That would hurt you. And so you got to die to some things before God could add it to you the way He wants to. And how long that takes is how long it takes for you to get right. Right? It could be quick. Or it could take entirely too long. And one thing that helps to understand, everything down here is so temporary. Don't get hung up on a car and a house and clothes and jewelry. All of this stuff is going to melt with fervent heat soon. And your good stuff is in glory. And the things that really matter is serving God and people. These are the things that last. And so don't get too hung up and don't get too focused on things. They, a nice house, a car, clothes, whatever, won't turn you into somebody else. It won't. And if you weren't content without it, you won't be content with it. Because there'll always be something else to lust after. Always. The eyes of man are never satisfied. There'll always be something. Oh, they came out with a new one. Huh? And it costs five times as much. If you can't be content without it, you won't be content with it. It's just the truth. It's a fact. What was the third one? Anybody remember that? Let's go to it. Look at it again. Isaiah, the first chapter. The third one was obedience, which is not a popular word in our modern society. It's politically incorrect. Not quite as bad as the word submit. Submit is a Bible word. Submit is a good word. Submit is a key and a way to safety and promotion and all these things, though many people don't believe it. But obey's right there close by it in people's disdain. But not us. Amen. I said not us. If the Lord says that's what He wants us to do, then that's what we want to do. We want to please Him. In Isaiah 1 and 19, He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. There's a play on the words here. You notice in verse 20, it's translated devoured instead of eat. But it's the same word in 19 and 20. And so you could say it like this. If you are willing and obedient, you will devour the good, or the same word could be translated consume. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be consumed. You're eating up the good of the land, or you will be eaten up, depending on whether you obey or rebel. So you'll find that there's a mentality that everybody is owed a good life. Everyone should enjoy the good of the land. Not according to God. No. And you are not owed a good life just because you were born. Now, a lot of people believe they are. But based on what? Not based on the Bible. The Lord says, if you listen to Him, you can have a good life. But if you won't, you won't have a good life. And you're not owed a good life if you're going to be stubborn and rebellious and hard-headed. The biggest problem on the planet, won't listen. Two words. I'm telling you, this is the biggest problem on the planet. God's creation won't listen to Him. Billions of people have rejected God outright. They either deny His existence entirely, or they have substituted their own God in His place. Amen. Well, that's defiance. Yes. That's rebellion against the Creator. And some people that even say they believe in God, they don't know what kind of God, but some kind of God, they feel like He owes them something. No, you owe Him your breath. You owe Him your awareness, your existence. You owe Him. We should come to Him. We should fall before Him. We should say, thank You for letting me exist. Right? Thank You. Do you know if God stopped protecting this planet for a day, we'd be done. I mean, either volcanoes would blow, huh? The core of the planet would break out to the surface. All kind of meteors could take us out. I mean, just endless things that would not continue. The fact that we go day after day after day and the sun shines and got plenty of air to breathe and your heart's beating and your blood's flowing through your veins, you ought to go,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hmm? Now, I know some people don't believe that, but they're going to find out the hard way if they don't get it straight before they die. Aren't you thankful that you're here? That you believe something good? Hallelujah. That your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that you're not doomed. You don't have to dread judgment. Jesus was judged in my place. Hallelujah. So we won't be judged. But if we're going to enjoy the fullness of what He has for us in this life, we must obey. Now, some people that have preached grace only, not just grace, grace only, they don't like that. Because they think, well, if you have to do anything, that's works, Brother Keith. No, no. We're not talking about qualifying for something or being deserving of it or being good enough for it. No, we're just talking about letting the Lord lead you to what He provided for you. If you're not going to be on the right path, you're not going to go through the right place. You know this, if you're traveling somewhere and you get off on the wrong road. Huh? Well, you're going to wind up going through places you weren't even supposed to go through. Right? Why? Because you're on the wrong road. And you won't be going through the places you were supposed to be going through. Well, that's what we're talking about. If you're willing and obedient, God's got stuff stockpiled for you, supplied for you at junctions all along His path for you. And the path of the just gets brighter and brighter and better as you go. But if you're going to be a stubborn head little sheep and going to do your own thing, then you're over here, not even on the right road. Huh? The provision ain't over there. It's over here in the plan of God. And so you will go through hard times you shouldn't have gone through. You will go through places you should have never gone through. Not because it was God's will. It's because you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. And He won't make you obey. He won't. He won't control you. So if we're a smart sheep, how many smart sheep do I have in a smart sheep, intelligent sheep, huh? What does a smart sheep do? It's a mean old world out there. Is that right? It's a mean old world. There's a lot of bad predators around, lions and wolves and curse and everything. If you're a smart little sheep and you got a great big shepherd, huh? Who knows where he's going? Who knows where all the pasture is and all the good water? What do? You keep your head almost on his calf. Is that right? You stay real close so that if he stops, you run into him and go, oh, sorry, Lord, didn't know you stopping. If you're smart, I said if you're smart, you live close. You stay close to what? Following him closely every day, which means obey. If you obey every day, you'll stay in the right way. You'll encounter the right things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. We talked about the rich young ruler and contrasted him with Abraham. The rich young ruler, the Lord had big plans for him. And he missed them, far as we know. Because he wouldn't do what the Lord told him to do. But then Abraham, I mean, when the Lord told him to do something, he did it that day. I mean, and we're still talking about him. And he was blessed. And part of his blessing was great increase materially. But even more important than that is the protection that he had. And you know, the enemy tried to steal his wife a couple of times, and he got her back both times. Yeah. Right? And he, protection in battle and protection from enemy forces and you name it. And but then also had more stuff than they had room for. But what you'll find is in following the Lord, you follow his wisdom. Somebody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
And you'll find there is a direct connection between wealth and wisdom. Now I'm talking about God's wealth. Riches that God would add to you and wisdom. They are inseparable. So when we're talking about obeying the Lord, what are you going to obey? What's he going to tell you? What's he going to give you? He's going to give you his direction, and that's going to include his wisdom. And his wisdom is just so far beyond man's natural wisdom as far as the heavens are above the earth. And he actually has the perspective of seeing the end from the beginning. You don't. I don't. Even if you got a glimpse of it through revelation, you just see a tiny thing. He sees the whole thing. And he knows how to get you from here to there.
Yes, thank God.
Hallelujah. Yes. The quickest way, the right way, the best way, the good way. But you don't see that. So how are you going to get there? You must obey. Right? He won't explain everything to you, because if you had to understand before you'll act, you don't trust. I've heard people say, I'm going to have to understand that better for me to do it. Well, then you don't trust. If the Lord tells you to do something, that's all you need to know. And one thing wisdom is always asking is, then what? Wisdom is always asking that question. Okay, I do this, and then what? Then what happens after that? Then what happens after that? And like we were just talking earlier, we should already be thinking quite a bit about what happens after this life. Because what we're doing right now is affecting our place in the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, it is. Our faithfulness or our lack of it, our obedience, our going all the way or going part of the way, it's affecting our place in God's kingdom. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, all the time. I mean, I don't know that a day went by he didn't talk about it. Why? Because everything going on down here is about to be over. Everything. There will not be any kingdoms of this world remaining soon and very soon. It'll just be one kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God. And if you got a place in that kingdom, you're somebody. Huh? I'm telling you. You're somebody for eternity if you have any kind of place in the kingdom. And so if you won't obey at all down here, then you shouldn't be trusted with eternal things.
Right.
If you wouldn't listen, you shouldn't have eternal reward. Amen. So no, the Bible said we're going to differ in glory like the stars differ. There's not going to be any rubber stamp, everybody gets the same. Mm-mm, no. There's going to be a big variance depending on not how big you were, not how much somebody knew you, on your faithfulness to what God gave you. That's what it's going to be based on. Faithfulness. How do we get into all that?
That's good.
Is it true or not?
Yes, it is.
But it correlates right back to this. If we won't obey here, then how can he trust us there? That's what this is about, is proving ground. Right here, right now. Who can he trust? We know we can trust him. But he's seeing and proving out through this life who he can trust and who he can place in different positions in his eternal kingdom. Eternal kingdom. You'll find with his wisdom, that's how he prospers you. That's how he increases you. It's not just one big thing, boom, you're set for life. And when you hear people, including Christians, with these get-rich-quick ideas, and you hear people talking about, oh yeah, man, I mean, you know, by the end of the month, we'll be set for life and we can underwrite the church for the rest of their life. No. No, you won't. Mm-mm. You'll never be our source. You can't even be your own source. Y'all with me or not? That's not how the Lord does things. But what he will do is show you, take a step, do this. And you'll find that these people that God blessed, like Abraham, and case after case, what did they do? When he said go, they went. When he said stay, they stayed. When he said sow, they sowed. When he said reap, do you see what I'm saying? And that's just, this is over 10, 20, 30, 40, 60 years. And as they did that, they increased incrementally year after year, decade after decade, until they became, they had a lot of ability. But it wasn't this get rich quick, everything's going to happen in a day. Mm-mm. That's not the way it went. And in the miracles, provisional miracles in Jesus' ministry, how did it happen? When the fishermen got enough fish that they could not work for the next 3 years at their business, and their families and everybody was taken care of. How'd that work? The Lord said, cast your nets. Huh? Didn't make sense. Didn't look like it was the right time. Told them what to do. Told them where to do it. And when they did, they caught so many fish. Is that right? And when they needed tax money, how'd they get it? Go over here, cast a line, first fish comes up. You could have easily said, well, that fish ain't big enough, threw him back. Right. Big mistake. Money was in his mouth. Right. Inside. He said, you gotta catch the fish, and then you gotta open the fish mouth. Right. Yep. Look inside the fish mouth. Oh, there's my tax money. Did you have to listen?
Yes.
Did you have to obey?
So
that's when we said there's more to prospering than money. There's more to increase than giving. You also have to obey. And I'm not talking about one big time in your life. We're talking about every day. You need to get up and pray and be led. Is that right? And the Lord will say, okay, do this. Work at this. You lost some people right there. Work. Work at this. Okay. Tithe.
Yes.
You know how much of the church won't do that? They won't even get started. Tithe. Give offerings. Help this one. Be a part of this one. Then if you're listening and better, buy some of this.
Amen.
Okay, now sell it now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is how you make money. This is how you increase. And year after year after year, you keep doing that, the numbers get bigger. You get sharper. You get better at listening, better at obeying. It's no coincidence that the wisest man in the Bible is the richest man in the Bible. No coincidence. In 1 Kings 3, did you find it? 1 Kings 3 and 3. So Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. He sacrificed burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. This is before God made him really rich. He's a big giver. 1,000 burnt offerings. And that night, after the big offering, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "Ask what I will give you." Phew. This is like a blank check, man. I mean, it's, what do you want? Wow. "Ask what I will give you." Solomon said, "You've showed your servant David, my father, great mercy. You've kept for him this great kindness that you've given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." He's thankful. He's acknowledging how he got there. He said, "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father. I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Well, he's a grown man. He's had the best education in the kingdom, but he knows he needs more to help this people and lead these people. He needs help. And he said, "Your servant's in the midst of your people, which you've chosen a great people that can't be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. He liked it. The Lord liked that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, you didn't ask riches for yourself, you didn't ask the life of your enemies, but you asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment." Now, discernment means to be able to distinguish, to differentiate between good and bad, right, wrong, God, not God. Right. Do you need this?
Yes.
Do we need, this is one of the biggest things you could ever get, to know the difference. And he said, "Because you have asked this, behold, I have done according to your words." Notice how God talks. He calls those things that be not as though he said, "I've done it." Well, he ain't even got started raining yet. You know, this is before all the stuff comes out. But when God said it, it's done. He said, "I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like to you." As far as a natural man living on the earth, he's the high point of wisdom and understanding, and also riches. Notice what he goes on to say. He said, verse 13, "And," you know, in the beginning of our series, we talked about the also God.
Yes.
Right? And, whew, "I've also given you what you didn't ask for." What? Riches. Riches. You know, God used to want you to have riches. When did that change? Riches and honor. so that there shall not be among the kings like to you all your days. Hallelujah. And if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, does that sound like obeying?
Yes.
If you'll do that like your father David did, I will lengthen your days. Riches, honor, long life. Not what he asked for, but what he got with wisdom. When you get wisdom, it comes with. I said it comes with. These other items are not a la carte. These other items are not optional additions. You get the wisdom. You get the riches. You get the honor. You get the long life. Oh, come on. Can you see this? Hallelujah. 1 Kings 10, don't turn there, but 1 Kings 10:23. So Solomon, King Solomon, exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And look at this. Verse 25, they brought every man his present. Vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate, year by year. It's flowing to him. It's just flowing to him. He's not chasing it. Oh, come on, can you see this? It's coming to him. And how did this start? He didn't say, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. Make me rich. Make me rich. See, you don't know what's important if you think it's all just about money. No, what you want is to know the will of God. You want to know the plan of God and be able to do His will and His plan. You want wisdom. The wisdom of God, the understanding of God. And with that comes all of this. It said, verse 27, the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. Like rocks. They'd say, King Solomon, we got another, 20 truckloads of silver. He said, yeah, the silver part's full. Just put it over there. Why? It's like unloading rocks. Silver. And cedars he made like sycamore trees. We got another load of silver. Another load of cedar. Yeah, we'll have to enlarge the yard. Why? The wisdom God gave him caused all this to flow to him without him chasing it. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Well, see, how are you going to seek it and you don't even know what it is? You need that wisdom. You need that understanding. To even see, God talked about wisdom and He did too. But what He asked specifically for originally was discernment. Which is all goes together. Discernment means you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference between what's God and what's just people. What's right and what's not right. What's worth doing, what's not worth doing. But of course, this would do you little good unless you would act on it. Right? Unless you would obey it and follow it out. Do I have anybody in the house that's interested in knowing God's will and plan for your life? Do you? I had planned to take some time and read some passages to you from Proverbs. Because, oh, it's rich. It's rich. I won't take time to do it all, but it talks about how, for instance, I'll just read a couple of them. Proverbs 3:16 talks about wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, her left hand riches and honor. Yes. Hallelujah. And length of days and long life and peace, it'll add to you. In Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness, that I may cause those that love me, talking about wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Do you need the wisdom and direction of God to enjoy the full increase of God?
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. But it's not just that. You got to obey it.
Yes.
You got to then do what he showed you to do. And there's no point in him showing it to you if he knows you won't do it anyway. And if you wouldn't do the last 12 things he told you to do, there's no point in him continuing to show you. And you and I, we've made mistakes. We've missed some things. But the Lord's merciful. And the big thing is that we don't have a stubborn heart. You can make a mistake, but don't be a stubborn, rebellious person. That'll mess up your life. And when you see, the difference is when you see you missed it, you repent. You go, Lord, forgive me. I didn't listen to you. And with your help and grace, I'm going to do differently. Next time you show me to do something, I'm going to do like Abraham.
Amen.
Is that right? We're going to implement it same day.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
Is this okay?
Yes.
Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 If you'll be willing and obedient, huh? You'll enjoy some things in this life. And yet, it's not what you live for. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put on the screen for us, and we're going to pray over this. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. This was the thing that the Lord, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified, I made mention a few weeks ago that the Lord ministered to me about this when that airplane, that step up thing was coming in like it was. I saw what the Lord was doing and how he was doing exceeding abundantly above what I had thought. And at one point, just by myself, at my desk, I just, tears began to come down my eyes, and I said, Lord, I'm overwhelmed with your goodness. Little country folks like us, you know where you brought us from and what you're doing for us and the ministry and the churches and the resources you're giving us. I'm overwhelmed with your goodness. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Keith, if you, and I knew the you meant you. You too. You. If you're not frequently overwhelmed by my goodness, you're not enjoying the full good life I planned for you, that I prepared for you. Frequently overwhelmed. And that's from right here. We're God's own handiwork. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. That we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Is that a life of lack? A life of loss? A life of struggling because you never have enough? No, that's not right. But it's not a life of covetousness and lusting and chasing after stuff and things either. It's a life of loving God and putting him first and loving his people and his church and his ministry and his word and his spirit and his things, and believing and obeying God until you have resources that just exceed what you ever thought God could use you to have, and you are overwhelmed with his goodness. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.